Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Ah, hello there, dear listener. It's me, Joe. I notice you've tuned in once again to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. Just remember, we dish out double the content over on our Patreon, patreon.com/guitar nerds. Go on, you'll love it. You'll pay your monthly fee and I will literally roll around in your hard-earned cash, probably wearing something provocative. Jay's not going to like this advert at all.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Mark Packham.
It's Tuesday, you know what that means.
And Jay Cross.
It's Tuesday.
You know, I really wish you wouldn't specify a day because it's obviously this comes out on a Wednesday at 6 a.m.
Yeah, well, we're recording it no less than 10 hours before it comes out. That means I'd say that's pretty efficient.
If it comes out 6 a.m. UK time, that means in some place in America, it's still Tuesday.
Right. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that is interesting. I didn't know that.
But, I mean, anybody who's listening to it the minute it comes out is a loser.
Yeah.
Well, like all our patrons.
Yeah, losers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they don't even get much of a bonus anymore, seeing as you guys need to stay in and watch Game of Thrones, which means we've had to move the podcast recording to a day later.
It's only for 6 weeks.
Yes, that is true. It is only for 6 weeks. And then normality will resume. It's really annoying, though.
We'll even get Matt Knight back. Never know.
We'll never, ever get Matt Knight back. I don't believe he's ever coming back on this podcast. It's moderately annoying about having to do the podcast a day later is I have to record all the adverts for it beforehand.
So you don't know what we've talked
about. So I can't be in the adverts. This week on the Patreon special, we'll be doing this. I've had to make them like really general purpose.
That's fine.
Yeah, well,
that's fine. Yeah. It's only 6 weeks.
I know.
And Game of Thrones is great. And I can't watch that on Tuesdays because spoilers and that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well. Anyway.
seem flummoxed by the day change.
Yes, yeah, it really is. Throwing me out. Anyway, tomorrow, Mark Packham, we're actually going to get to see Matt Knight.
We are. I've forgotten what he looks like. I mean, basically, we'll be going to a building where he's supposed to be. And I can't remember what he looks like, so maybe he'll be there. Who knows?
Yeah, he's probably changed. Yeah, so we're heading up to London to the, what is it, the Boss Artist Centre? Or is it a Roland Artist Centre?
I think it's Roland. Right. Because they've got like drums and pianos and stuff.
It is Roland. I was in the same building not a month ago, but of course I gave a very wide berth to the door that said Roland.
Right.
Because disgusting. No, he just wasn't there, so like I had no interest in going to say hello to people I didn't know. Hello, I know Matt.
Yeah,
like, I'm not going to do that.
As far as I'm aware, if the door's closed, no one's there.
No, that's if the lights aren't on.
If the light is if green, the trap is clean.
Yeah, if the Ooh. Truck is a, if that trailer's a rocking, don't come a knocking.
Yeah,
but we're actually heading up there to see. It's an open day. Stroke. It's the demo of the. It's like the introduction demo of the.
Are you having a stroke?
of the what's the
tube
thing
expander?
The tube expander. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like a.
I'm glad you've done your research.
I'm so uninterested in that product.
Oh, good. I'm glad you've been invited. Then.
It's a. as far as I'm aware, it's a boss open day, so that anything is available to check out. And to be honest, I would quite like to do that because I saw on Facebook today someone was talking about the Angry Driver. Uh-huh. And I realised, I don't think I've spent more than 5 minutes
really?
Listening to the Angry Driver.
I bought one.
Yeah, they're supposed to be very, very good.
They were really good. One of the best drive pedals I've ever had. I sold it, actually. But
so, yeah, I'd quite like to spend some time with that. And, yeah, obviously the big thing is the tube amp expander, which I heard a little bit of when we went to the Birmingham Guitar Show.
It was pretty difficult to hear anything.
Couldn't hear a single thing. And Matt's raving about it. Matt is just absolutely loving
it. He loves it a lot. I have to really cut down my sort of dismissiveness.
You're really ribbing him about it just being a volume pedal.
He gets really upset about it. But, yeah, so, well, I am actually interested to find out what it actually is.
Well, it's of quite a few things, isn't it?
It's an attenuator.
Yeah.
I mean, what it is, and this is what it is the most boring looking product I have ever.
It's pretty functional, I'm not going to lie, but it's pretty much in line with the rest of the aesthetics that they're going for. You know, like it looks like Katana. And
yeah, sure,
it's
sure.
It's the current boss look, so.
Yeah.
They've just gone fairly flat. It's like, remember when all the icons on your phone changed from like bubbles to flat?
Yeah, I guess it is like that.
What? Like, remember old iOS, everything had like a drop shadow and then they lost the drop shadow.
I remember that because I got really into that aesthetic and started trying to change all the stuff at GAC so that there was no drop shadow on anything.
And like Windows, when Windows went to Windows 10.
Yeah.
And they had like all those blocks that are just a blue block with plain white writing rather than
simplicity.
A crazy window.
Simplicity is the future.
I have absolutely no recollection of anything that you're saying there.
Really?
What?
Really?
Basically, I am the ideal candidate for like the Ministry of Truth.
Right.
Because as soon as they're like, oh no, we're at war with Eurasia, I'm like, I hate Eurasia. I hate Eurasia.
Your brain's been completely...
just like, it just gets wiped immediately.
Completely washed.
Yeah. In as far as the amp expander is concerned, I was trying to explain to my girlfriend, who obviously also plays guitar. She was like, "Oh, what is the open day for?" And I was like, "Oh, it's for the tube amp expander."
So for us to see Matt Knight's beautiful face once again.
But she was like, "So what's the tube amp expander?" And I was like, "Well, it's not like a product. It's like something you have to use in conjunction with an amp." So
no, not necessarily.
Don't you?
No, because it's got, as far as I'm aware, it's got cab modelling in there.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you need to use some sort of preamp with it.
Yeah, exactly.
But you can use it as an audio interface.
Yeah.
You can use it for direct recording.
Right.
It's also
use my phone for direct recording.
Yeah, but not in the same way. It's also, obviously, it's got the attenuation stuff, and it's got the thing that it's named after, the tube amp expansion. So I guess what it's doing there is some sort of... EQ and kind of expanding the sound, and there's a few different things that you can do on the amp, but to be honest, I know about as much about it as
we're
going
to be able to talk about it in actual detail next week, seeing as it's unlikely that Matt will ever return.
he's dead. Really looking forward to it, to see Matt and also try out some Boss stuff.
Yeah,
maybe
absolutely.
I'll just play on the drum kits maybe.
So we got an email this week, an email, yes, which I thought was interesting from a listener. They'd actually used the contact form on our website and everything.
Blimey.
Yeah, I know. I was really impressed.
I didn't know we had a website.
Guitarnerds.net.
Oh, yeah.
We've got that all the time, but Joe hasn't written it in his script.
Got that stupid .net suffix.
I don't really like directing people there.
.net's the way forward.
.net's dumb.
You. Yeah. All the good ones are taken.
mxtabs.net.
I tried to get it on hyperglobalmeganet, but I couldn't get that one, just the .net.
Oh, that's a shame. Yeah, I don't direct people there. Also, it seems to...
I assume .net websites are a scam.
.net? No, .net's legit. Now that they've opened it up to basically anything, it could be .dot anything.
Guitarnerds.bananas.
You could get guitarnerds.guitar.
Could we? Yeah, we want gtr.gtr.
No, you can't get that.
.gag.
No, they're like full. They're like proper words. Unlike gag.
Guitarnerds.
You could probably get guitarnerds.podcast.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean,
that sounds cool.
We need to, basically, you need to do this now, because if you don't, someone's going to do this about 2 minutes past six tomorrow morning.
I'm just going to see if that is actually available, otherwise you might need to cut this out.
Yeah, okay. so anyway, we got this email from a listener, and they told me about this new video series by Temple Guitars. And I realised I have seen Temple Guitars in passing. Have you guys seen Temple Guitars? Have you seen any of their stuff?
Ed Temple Tudor.
No. What?
Don't worry.
No, Temple Guitars. There's a link in the document for you to click through. But yeah, I've seen their guitars sort of in passing on Instagram and stuff. And they're super cool. Australian. And they've released this new Luthier series on their YouTube channel, which is... It's absolutely fantastic. I mean, it's completely irrelevant to me because I have no interest in learning how to build a guitar. I should learn how to build a guitar.
I mean, you've got so much time on your hands these days.
I have no time on my hands.
Sitting around of money as well.
Overworked, yeah, so and rich. Underpaid.
He's got so much money.
Joe Moneybags Brenton. That's what we call him.
But anyway, Patronus money plus the new YouTube trickle. Filling the bank of old Scrooge McBranton
YouTube
over there.
YouTube is trickling. Do you know, speaking of emails, someone emailed us specifically to say that they hated our videos the other day.
Love it. Love it. Not just leave a comment.
Not just leave a comment. They found our email address and emailed, again, through the website, the form thing.
Yeah.
Just to say that they hated... that I had a lamp on in the background and it was blinding them whilst they were watching the video.
Really?
And I was like, I don't really think that's how light works.
I don't think the light
doesn't project from the lamp through into your eyes. It's just there. And I was like, but in fairness to the guy, I did turn the lamp round on the next video.
You shouldn't have done. You should have moved it closer.
Video called Lamp, and it's just the lamp pointed straight into the camera.
Yeah, someone
lamp
else.
Lamp Nerds, our new podcast.
Someone else messaged and was like, you have much less gear than other guitar channels. In shots, and I was like, we actually have rooms full. It's just I was trying to make the shot look tasteful by not like cluttering it up with stuff.
And also, it's in a garage. We don't want to put all the stuff in there.
Yeah, true.
It's got security in that.
Exactly. But anyway, Temple Guitars, they've started this Luthier series, and it's fantastic. It's really well shot, really interesting, and it's the whole idea behind it is they're teaching you how to be a more efficient luthier, and it's aimed at people who build guitars professionally and sort of people who are trying it for the first time as well. Like their most recent video last week was on how to make an arm carve jig to save time on, because you would sand that in, and it's about building a wooden jig so that you can just run the guitar body, you know, through a saw and create the carve
that way.
But brilliantly shot and really high sort of production values and really interesting. Like, I just think, listeners, if you're at all interested in making guitars, or even if you just want to see kind of a really high quality insider's job on how it's done, man, I thought like, check out Temple Guitars on YouTube. It's really, really super interesting.
I've watched enough Hydraulic Press Channel on YouTube to know that. But people doing stuff in workshops is exactly my thing.
Is it? Is it? You like that sort
I don't
of thing.
Want to do any of that work myself, but I want to watch people do
is
it.
Is that what is that? Like the hydraulic the like Does It Blend channel?
Yeah, there's Does It Blend.
The Hydraulic Press channel is, and I
there's people who cook stuff as well.
I say this without any hint of hyperbole, the only YouTube channel where I watch every video. I watch basically no YouTube whatsoever. I'm not a big fan of YouTube.
Right.
The YouTube that I do like is the Hydraulic Press channel.
Yeah.
And it is something that I discovered about 3 years ago. And my life has never been the same because it is so good. It's a geezer in Finland who owns a hydraulic press.
Right.
And he just like presses stuff for fun.
Like trousers?
No, like.
Right? Oh, right.
Like
wood.
I think
hamburgers.
I've seen it.
And mobile phones, and he did it. He even like he did a sponsored advert for Wolverine.
Right. What? Where he pressed Hugh Jackman?
No, but they put like Wolverine's claws in there, and the press couldn't crush it.
Wow,
it's crazy.
That might have been a gag.
Yeah, that's
it. Was official licensed video. He got paid $1 million.
Wow, sweet. We should send him a guitar,
maybe.
So,
Send him Joe.
We'll send him a guitar and pictures of Joe Branton, just a crush in the thing.
Send him that portrait of me.
Yes.
I'm thinking about commissioning some sort of waxworks or maybe a clay...
a clay head, like the head from Art Attack.
Yeah, I was thinking more like, you know, like Lionel Richie. But
hello, I'd like to speak to Madame Tussaud, hello. Please.
Hello.
I will speak to nobody but the Madame herself.
Yeah, I think if you're a person out there, listener, who dabbles in clay,
Joe, I've got to be honest. I don't think there's a huge amount of crossover between people who listen to guitar podcasts and people who are skilled with wax.
I don't know about that. I love guitars and I really like the movie Ghost. I could have easily gone down the route of learning to, you know, I don't know what you call it, demi-mooring it. That's what I call it.
Just doing that thing on the pottery wheel.
Yeah. God, I miss Patrick Swayze. Anyway, also this week.
Is he dead?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, quite some time ago.
R.I.P.
Oh, he was great. I really loved him. Anyway, Alpha guitars. I don't know if we've spoken about them on the podcast.
Where are you finding all these things?
And listeners, well, do you know how I found this one? Actually, listen, just before we started this podcast, you guys
he's going through the Greek alphabet.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No.
Start.
Just before we started this podcast, you were talking to me about how I accept friends requests from everyone. Well, as it turns out, I'm friends with the guy who owns Alpha guitars. I don't know how. Maybe we met. Who knows? I'm not sure. But I just saw a post that he put out and I was like, oh, I always see Alpha guitars come up, but they're not something I'd ever looked into, because I remember they have like they're kind of like traditional come modern, so, you know, somewhere in between the two, and they're very, very woody, so there's lots of spalts and burls and flames and often wooden scratch plates, but in a sort of semi-traditional style. It's weird, it's hard to explain.
I wouldn't describe this as traditional.
No, but it is. But you know what I mean? It's not modern in a conventional sense either.
No, sure. They're not like, you know, like fan fret or anything.
Yeah,
like
well, they do fan fret options. Fine. But you know, they do lots of stuff. They do lots of different type models. And I think I remember seeing them and being like, oh, they're a bit too modern, you know, just for my personal taste. They look absolutely fantastic, but they're just a bit, you know, too modern for me, so I just gloss over them. But it was only when I saw this post about the Manta Prime version 2 that Chris Dobson from Alpha Guitars was working on. I was like, wow, that's actually fantastic. And I didn't realise that they did these slightly more traditionally edged guitars. And the Manta Prime version 2 is very much like a... it's an SG Junior meets Les Paul Junior, but with a slightly sort of modern twist, maybe a slightly more diamond shaped body, a really interesting like two piece shaped scratch plate, black scratch plate, and then a sort of red tinted mahogany body. They do I think they do 4x2 headstocks on a lot of their stuff.
Yep.
And it reminds me, the headstock overall shape reminds me a bit of like Crimson, or it's a bit more...
Because it's, you know, like a kind of uneven split, it looks like the Music Man headstock. It's got that kind of vibe. I'm just looking right now at the Mako Prime, which looks great. It's kind of like jazz mastery, I guess, but a kind of modern take on it. Two kind of soap bar pickups in there. Yeah, these look good. Like you say, they strike a really nice balance of like modern stuff and some
prices,
kind of
prices for custom builds start $17.99.
Yeah, totally. They also do a fantastic range of merch. Really good hoodies.
Really good.
Great beanies.
I want
one of these beanies. I'm
really
not a beanie
good beanies.
Man. Let me find it, Jay. I'll show you.
Find it.
Yeah, they. The beanies are really good. There we go. Lovely. Yeah. No, people can't see this listening on the podcast. But
ooh, they do a really a black nice... beanie.
No, the grey one. I like the grey beanie.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, these are... These
oh, look
are cool.
at that.
These are cool.
It's a grey beanie.
Yeah.
A really, really nice balance. The basses, I think, are a bit too modern for me, but they're doing some interesting stuff on the guitars.
Yeah.
That...
Yeah, there's certainly, on the bass front, there is a bridge humbucker on it in a wooden finish, semi-hollow, four-string, fretless bass. But the two cutouts are made to look like imperfections in the wood.
Yeah, the two. So it's like two F-holes, but they're not F-holes. They look like... a hole in the wood. Yeah, yeah.
Would you call it a knot? That's it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly that. Yeah,
yeah, but like really massive knots, obviously. But yeah, they are super duper modern, but still like the build quality looks incredible. Just on, you know, a personal taste front, they're slightly modern. But the some of the guitars, because they're able to go down a slightly more traditional route with those, like pickup configurations. You know, there's a lot of like. There seems to be like a lot of wide range, like Mojo pickups being used. The Tele pickups are all quite vintage styled. I really love the sort of blending of the two styles. Yeah. I'm going to give Chris a shout and see if we can maybe get a closer look at some of these things. Because
just having a quick look on their Instagram, saying that the basses are too modern. There's actually a bass on there, a Mako Prime version 2, which is like a kind of offset Mustang bass, I would say, with a 51 P bass pickup in the center.
I did see that earlier.
Looks really cool. Again, you know, it's a little too modern for my taste, but it's got some kind of key parts to it.
But that's the thing that's unique that I noticed about them. The pickup configurations in general tend to be classic.
Yeah,
even
totally.
Even if the body's not. It's a really odd thing because certainly guitars tend to be. You know, custom builds like this tend to be Fidelity retro, or Ormsby modern.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, totally.
Everything's down one of those two lines, so it's a really interesting thing. But yeah, maybe we'll talk more on Alpha guitars in the coming weeks if we manage to sort out something to actually have a butcher's at them a little bit closely. Now, the day this podcast gets released,
Wednesday.
Yeah, which is Wednesday at 6 a.m.
Tuesday, some places.
Yeah, fine. Hopefully, I'm going to get outbid.
Okay.
I accidentally bid on a Gibson Thunderbird.
Why?
I think at the time I was like, oh, that's a good price for a Gibson Thunderbird.
But this is the problem with eBay, and this is why you should not use eBay.
Right.
You should use Reverb.com because you never know what things are going to sell for. Whereas Reverb, they tell people
that is so stupid.
What?
What you've just said there?
Yeah, but he's always
so
Joe's
stupid.
Almost accidentally bought something.
Well,
yeah, but what he's done is he's gone. When you say you don't know what they're going to sell for, you know what you might end up paying for it.
Sure,
which is the bid that you've put in.
Yeah.
Sure, but
it's absolutely no different to if he was on Reverb and seen a Gibson Thunderbird and gone, oh, I'll buy that.
Yeah,
and then put in an offer and the person accepted it. No different at all.
Yeah.
Sure. No different.
Except
no different.
You could get caught in a bidding war if you were some sort of maniac bids spiral out of control and then you end up paying too much for something.
Oh, always happens to me. That.
Exactly. Yeah. There we go.
But,
would happen on Reverb.
I mean, that's absolutely it would.
But nonetheless, I'm quite excited about owning a Thunderbird. It's only a bit of a problem because Mark, you went for your work. You went and had a chat with Mudpie Music.
I did
a guitar shop, a secondhand guitar shop in Brighton.
Yeah, there's a shop in town called Mudpie who do. I thought it was primarily vintage stuff, but actually, I was in there yesterday, and they've actually got a range of really well priced, kind of like not vintage stuff, but interesting stuff. So like some like nice Gretsches. They've got loads of Hofners. They've got a ton of basses, like. On that, more erring on the kind of vintage side of things. But yeah, not like crazy expensive vintage stuff. Stuff that's all really affordable.
Yeah.
And then like a load of kind of Japanese Fender and stuff like that. So yeah, it was cool. I hadn't been in there for a good few years properly. And so I pointed you in a kind of the direction of a couple of bits that they've got.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, so this Thunderbird has sort of scuppered things, but I am hoping that
you get outbid.
Well, I either get outbid or you know I'll stick with it for a little bit and you know then get rid of it, I guess. But yeah, Mudpie Music happen to have and you talk about some of the weird things that they have. They have something that even I'm not sure even they know how to name. They've listed it as a 1961 Silvertone short scale bass. It's a Silvertone model 1444.
Oh yeah,
which were a super limited, like incredibly limited run of guitars. I think Dan Electro made them under the Silvertone branding for like 3 years.
Yeah.
And 61 being bang in the middle of that. And it's the one pickup version of the of like their single cut shape, with the single pickup being right up in the neck. And for whatever reason, on those Silvertone 1444s, 1444s, I don't know what should you call
1444.
Them? 1444, let's do that.
1444.
One triple fours. The volume and tone control. 1444. Okay, 1444. The volume control is the furthest control away from you, and the tone control is the nearest.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, really weird.
That's very
bizarre. Turn that right around, mate. Turn that right around.
Yeah, that is unusable.
Yeah, I don't mind. But anyway, like it's listed on there for like $699. This for a 1961 Silvertone bass. That is incredible.
Yeah, that seems
really cool.
I mean, I wouldn't say that's cheap, but I would say that
that's
is
a
like,
good price though. It's not overpriced.
What I've seen in some stores recently is they've got like some pretty average secondhand stuff. Oh no, like less than kind of average secondhand stuff, and they've got a few nice pieces. But unfortunately, the nice pieces are like super overpriced. And what I like about Mudpie is that they've got a load of guitars that are like in between those two things in terms of like desirability. Like the Hofners, they've maybe got like 4 or 5 60s Hofners that are right. All really cool, but they're at the right price. You know, they're like $599 instead of, you know, I've seen similar guitars recently for advertised at like $1,000.
Yeah,
and it's like you don't want to be paying $1,000 for a 60s Hofner. They're not good enough guitars to warrant that, no matter how much the market goes up for like vintage stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, like $699 feels like the right price. $599, $699 feel like the right price. So yeah, that's kind of what I was looking at in that store. But the one that you pointed out was was the bass?
The
Hofner
Burns.
Bass. Oh,
no,
Burns,
no,
bass. Burns.
There's a Burns Sonic there, which is something I've always wanted.
They're really weird.
But I tell you what's great about this one. I see these come up every now and again. And they're often, it seems like they were the more affordable, because they're a short-horned, short-scale Burns. So they're kind of the opposite of the Burns Bison, probably their most, you know, famous bass.
Yeah.
The thing is, it feels like all of the Sonics that got made were made and then gigged to absolute death, because you never see them in good condition.
Yeah, they seem like more of a kind of student-y bass as well.
Yeah, it was definitely that sort of thing. But I love them. I love the sound of them. The Arctic Monkeys bass players changed off of using P basses to using an old Burns Sonic for the new record. I mean, most of the stuff is palm muted.
That lounge record.
I love that. But I really like the Last Shadow Puppets, so the side project of the main guy. I forget his name.
Alex Turner?
Alex Turner, yeah. But yeah, I really like that sort of loungy 70s
I listened
feel.
To it. I
Not
didn't
you?
Really get it.
No.
I didn't really get it. It was just kind of... I didn't think it was weird enough for what it was trying to be. That's my only kind of concern. You know, whatever.
Lots
of people liked it a lot, and I get that. I felt like if they were doing something that was so drastically different from what they've done in the past, like they should have gone like very weird.
Right.
And it was kind of just, here's a different concept and we're doing this for a whole record, as opposed to like, let's try and be like completely bananas.
It does feel very much like a Puppets record rather than a...
Yes, I mean, it seemed, I don't know anything about Last Shadow Puppets, but like it seems like a solo record.
It literally sounds exactly like that's all the Puppets records been, like concept-y lounge records.
Right, okay.
So it's very much like that. But yeah, the bass player moved for the first time off of P basses onto a Burns Sonic, and I thought the whole record has this gorgeous like dubbed, like everything's palm muted, like sort of vintage-y bass sound. But whenever I see Burns Sonics come up on Reverb or eBay, they're always like £1,200, you know, £1,500, $1,000. And they've always like got a missing tuner, look like they maybe had a neck break, the plate's been taken off.
Do you know?
It looks like the neck's bowed in half.
Do you know how the Sonic relates to the new Sonic? Is the new Sonic like a later model? Because so, I'm just looking at a picture here that I've never seen of the Beatles, which for me is rare, because I think I've seen all of the pictures of the Beatles. And this is them recording Rain in Abbey Road, so like mid-60s, 66 I think this session is.
Right.
And George Harrison is playing bass, and he's playing apparently a new Sonic, which was hired from Burns for the day. let me read a bit more about this. I'll see if I can find out.
Listeners could possibly correct us on this if they know a lot about Burns. My knowledge is okay, but I think from what I do know about Burns, I think they were quite fluid with their names.
Yeah.
So the guitarist in my band, Tim, he's left-handed but strings right-handed.
Yeah.
And his father was exactly the same.
Right.
And his dad played in an old rock and roll band. And his dad was mates with someone at the Burns factory, and he used to go up there and they would make him a left-handed guitar with the trem system reversed so that he could still so that he could have it strung the correct way. And Tim has two of the same, and they are the split Sonic body shape and pickup configuration. And one of them says split Sonic on the headstock. The other one says something else, like Marquee or something
that.
Yeah. Which is just the wrong name.
Yeah.
That's just not that guitar.
Maybe they just had like one of those nameplates knocking around.
I think that is probably the case, but I think, you know, maybe sort of...
Oh, because the Burns say it on the scratch plate rather than on their headstock.
It is on the headstock, actually. It's on the truss rod cover on the neck.
So that will be... Yeah.
So it is something that, you know, they could have just had something lying around. But yeah, I don't know if the new Sonic might well be a really similar thing. But nonetheless, like, super cool guitars, and nice that there's a shop where you can still get cool vintage, like 60s stuff, without paying the sort of massive price point that normally comes with, like, you know, vintage instruments. Anyway, we should move on and have a little look in our mailbag.
Mailbag.
There's only one thing in the mailbag this week, and it's not a big thing at all, but I've passed them around. Rombo Picks, who we spoke about a few weeks ago.
I'm holding one in my hand right now.
Yeah, they finished their Kickstarter, and it was successful. So they're now a company in their own right. So they sent us a couple of picks to say thanks for us talking about them. But
can we suggest that if they send picks in the post, they don't use
so they
like blue tack to stick them to the...
They sent them on a letter with like one of those little sort of double-sided squares of tape to stick them down. But the tape's done such a good job and the plectrums are textured. So now they're sort of... The tape is like melted into the
How long has this podcast been running so far, roughly?
Half an hour?
Yeah, I've been pretty much the entire time we've been recording, I've been trying to get the sticky stuff off this plectrum, and I've literally just about managed it.
Should we do a live demo?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, this is the real stuff. We said we'd never do demos on the podcast.
So Jay Cross is demoing right now the Rombo Classic, which is a 0.45 plectrum with a textured grip and a very small untextured point. It comes in the most conventional sort of Tortex style sizing, and it is their slimmest, most conventional plectrum, just with good grip.
Shall I demo this one?
Yes, and then Mark has my particular favourite, which is the Rombo Diamond, which is a 2mm thick plectrum, and it comes with a hole in sort of the middle of it, which is supposed to improve grip. Now, that's not wholly unique. You've seen loads of other companies like Gravity, who is a plectrum company I've got really into recently, also do a range with a hole in the tip. But I really like the Diamond because there's kind of some shaping in the actual plectrum itself, which is supposed to aid the way you hold it, and then again with this slightly separated smooth tip.
The first bit that you did there before you started noodling around.
Noodling.
It sounded like the... Go on. That sounds like the music in the beginning of Battlestar when they're doing the boom, 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 like last week on Battlestar.
Yes.
Rombo actually also do two other plectrums.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door.
Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
It's the Rombo Origami.
I tell you what, that was great.
Waves.
We should do demos more often.
Yeah. Totally. That's the one thing this podcast needs.
It was good. The Rombo Waves, again, comes with kind of a, well, hence the name. It has a sort of wavy shape, which, you know, allows you to grip it, and comes in a 1.25 mil thickness. And the Rombo Origami, which is their 0.75, which I think would be more up your street. And I really like the Origami because it actually...
Who are you talking to?
It folds up. You play like 7.5. Fives or something like that, don't you? That's what punk guys use, isn't
it? Yeah,
like,
Dunlop Greens.
Yeah, whatever that is. 0.81, 0.77.
They're 88.
0.88, yeah, around that. Less than a mil. But the Origami is kind of folded towards the upper area, so it sort of grips around your thumb.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
This one I've got here, which is the black one, which is the thin one.
Yeah, you can get them in different colours. You can get them in pink, blue, yellow, or black.
So I like the texture on this. Does this come in a different thickness?
That's the Rombo Diamond. No, they are exact. So there's the 7.5 is Origami, the 1.25 is Waves, right. The Diamond is 2 mil, and the Classic is 4.5.
That feels it's a little bit thin. Of a shame because I love the grip on this, but way too thin. Yeah. For me. This feels like, you know, like one of the Dunlop nylon ones that looks like it's cut out of a bit of A4 paper.
Oh, really?
What gauge is that?
That's 2 mil, which is about right.
That one. The one that Mark's got.
Oh, the black. Oh,
that
sorry.
That definitely isn't 2 mil, mate.
Oh, no, sorry. That's the Classic. You said, I thought they were both black for a second. No, the black one, that's the Classic, which is 0.45. But don't worry, because the one you'd want is probably the Origami, which is a similar grip and size.
Okay.
It's just 0.75.
But that's the one that's kind of bendy around, isn't it? It's like bent around your thumb.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be interesting for me to see where they go next. Will they start issuing the different grips?
Yeah.
Because
amps, I reckon.
Yes, yeah, straight up. Yeah, that's the next obvious thing. But like this one, for example, this chunky one.
That's the Diamond, the Rombo Diamond.
Which is kind of Jazz 3-esque, I guess, but it's textured. And it's, I mean, when I say texture, it's got a big kind of hump on either side and the kind of hole in the top. It'd be interesting to see if they start to do that in different thicknesses.
Yeah. Would you like to see it thinner?
Well, this one you'd go thinner, and then the other one, which has got the Classic, which has got that kind of the papery feel to it at the moment. If they did that in a kind of, you know, 0.88 thickness, that'd be really good because the grip is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, they're definitely super cool plectrums. I think they'd be my absolute favourites at the moment if I hadn't recently discovered Gravity plectrums. I appreciate Gravity is probably quite a popular brand, but I don't really care about plectrums. It's only because I've got to do some like tremolo picking on the bass in a new song that I couldn't do with my fingers fast enough. I had to sort of like, oh, I've got to use a plectrum. And I never realised it made a difference by actually using like a 2.5 mil thick Gravity razor with their pointed tip.
Sounds much better, really, doesn't it? Playing bass for the pick. you can throw away that compressor.
Get rid of all those pedals that you got.
just use a pick. Sounds great.
Right.
I'm going to throw down a challenge. If any plectrum manufacturer out there listening to this podcast, of which there's potentially a few, if anyone can make me a pick that I like more than a Dunlop Green,
boring.
I will pay for an advert on this podcast for that plectrum manufacturer.
You pay me.
I'll pay you.
Yeah, you'll pay guitar nerds.
I will pay for an ad spot. If someone can make me a pick that is better than a Dunlop Green, because these are fantastic. they're not for me at all. You know, I'm
well, that one the one in your hand, the diamond, which is the 2 mil, is listed as for advanced guitarists.
Yeah, that, I mean, absolutely not me in the slightest. But if someone can make one that I prefer to a Dunlop Green,
right,
I will pay for an ad spot on the podcast.
There you go. Anyway, on that note, we should dive headfirst into some news.
Didn't give yourself as much of a break there.
I wasn't going to give myself a break. I was going to come straight in, but...
You normally go straight in.
Yes.
You didn't this time. You're all right.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Is that pizza weighing heavy?
It was a really nice pizza, actually. Thank you, Jay Cross. Jay,
you're welcome. I picked it up from the shop myself. I don't know why you're thanking me.
Yes, yeah, you're absolutely right. Mark Packham, why don't you tell us about the MXR Carbon Copy Mini?
You know the Carbon Copy, right?
Yeah.
Imagine it Mini.
That's literally it, isn't
Next bit of news.
They've
No. Let's not do it a disservice. So the very, very popular MXR Carbon Copy, you know it, you love it.
Citation needed.
It is from, how long they've been out? What, 5 years?
No.
Longer?
What do you mean five?
Ten years?
10 years?
Yeah, at least.
The Bright,
probably 2000.
The Bright came out when we started doing Guitar Nerds. So
I reckon. It came out in 2010 or 2011.
I think I own a Bright.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do. Right. I think we were using it as a kind of comparison for a while with Guitar
I remember Nerds. That I prefer the original.
Oh, do you? Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, so the Carbon Copy Mini is MXR's latest addition to the Carbon Copy range. Obviously, there's the Carbon Copy, Carbon Copy Bright, Carbon Copy Deluxe, which is the two-pedal version. This is a scaled-down...
Blow me down.
2009.
2008.
Wow, there we go. So 11 years of Carbon
Copy. Well, I'm going off the fact that in 2018, they released the 10th anniversary.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
Yes, they did, because it was silver. It had no finish.
Oh, yeah.
It was
Yes, they
Joe.
Did.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
So this is the mini version. It's basically in line with what they've been doing with that kind of mini Phase 90 or whatever it's called, and a few other of the mini pedals MXR have been putting out. They've put the Carbon Copy in that housing, but there's a few interesting things on there. So from the first appearances, it is just a regular Carbon Copy shrunk down. So you've got the three controls, the regen, the mix, and the delay.
You've got the mod switch.
You've got the mod switch as well, which turns on the kind of warbly mods. The only thing that's not on here is, can you go into the back? Like, you can... Can you take the back off and adjust the modulation settings?
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, I thought there was a trim pot on the outside of this one. That was what I saw on there.
No, there's not a trim pot on the outside. What there is the Bright switch on the outside.
Okay.
So that's the kind of most notable addition to this, is that you've essentially got the Bright and the regular circuit in one pedal. The Bright switch is activated with a little mini toggle, which is on the side of the pedal. Yeah, there's nothing... I can't see anything. I might have to do a bit more digging, because on this news article, there's no indication whether that... whether you're able to access the modulation settings or not.
I don't think it's the modulation, is it? I thought it was the oscillation.
No, trim pots inside the Carbon Copy are very much the modulation settings.
Okay.
But whether they're on the Mini, I need to dig that out. But yeah, I mean, there's not much else to tell, really. It's the pedal that you know and love in a more cramped pedal board style, pedal board friendly box. I think I'm actually going to get one of these. I've been thinking about my pedal board, and I know I said I haven't needed delay, but I really like Carbon Copies.
It's really good.
Well, the reason I haven't bought one before is because I don't want to take up a whole pedal space with an effect that I don't really use. You know, right. I don't really use delay. But now that I am going to replace my TU3 with one of those... Pedal Train SST tuners, the space saving tuner.
How are you going to tune quietly?
I'm not going to.
Oh, because you don't gig this board.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, just use it at home. So yeah, I'm going to put the space saving tuner on there, which means I can put on not only my Ibanez Tube Screamer Mini, but now the Carbon Copy Mini as well.
Oh, very cool.
Move on to the next item, and I'll let you know whether you can do the modulation thing or not.
Yes, absolutely. Jay Cross, Why don't you tell us all about a new offering from Walrus Audio? I love Walrus Audio.
Yes.
If you ever, do you know what Walrus Audio did on their Instagram recently? They've got like a pinned story, which is where they've uploaded the artwork of all of their pedals in cut to be like phone background sized. Yeah. And so you can just screenshot the story and then use it as a phone background, which I thought was great because they have really nice artwork. They have nice artwork on their new pedal as well.
They do. So this is the Slew.
The Slew. Like Slow Gin.
No, not like Slew Gin. Not like Slow Gin. This is Slew, which is S-L-O with an umlaut, which I think is Slew.
Ah, I love a good umlaut.
I could be incorrect. It's a great word.
It is a good word.
Umlaut.
What is it? Number 4 or number 5 on a keyboard? An umlaut.
Sorry?
Well, you know, you hold the O and then it gives you all the options of the different O. And I think it's 4. I think
you mean on a phone, not on a computer?
It's on a computer as well.
Oh, I don't know. I have I have Windows and it doesn't do it on that. Did you just type the word O?
I'm pretty sure you're thinking about your phone, Joe.
I'm thinking about my phone because I've just typed a shed load of O's.
I'm pretty sure holding down a button on a computer doesn't work in the same way.
Anyway, the Walrus Audio Slew multi-texture reverb is a reverb with multiple textures attached. Are you okay?
Yeah,
sorry, I'm just looking at Joe once
again. I'm sure I've done this before.
Maybe
like this.
Try Command O.
I'll try that. Oh dear. That is...
You have entered.
No, I don't want to visit the dark web. No, anyway, sorry, carry on.
So the Walrus Audio Slow Multi-Texture Reverb is a big, expansive, ambient-style reverb. You've got decay, filter, mix, and depth controls. And then you've also got a parameter control, which you can and you can choose which mode you're in with a toggle switch in the middle.
Right.
So the three options are dark, which is a blendable lower octave.
Ooh.
Which sounds nice.
Ooh.
Rise, which is an ambient swell. And dream, which is latching pad, which I don't know what that means.
Ooh, like a freeze?
Yeah. It's not that. It's like I listened to the demo and it is like, yeah, it's like a synth pad coming in of reverb,
okay.
But you hold the switch down to make it happen.
Right. Okay. And then
that sounds banging.
You've also got the ability with, and this is what's actually very smart about this, with the same three-way toggle switch, you've got the ability to choose different wave shapes for your modulation.
Right.
You hold down the bypass button because it's got two.
I see, and that makes the three-way toggle switch control other things.
Exactly. Yes. As well as that, by holding down the bypass switch, you can also manipulate the modulation by using the depth control, and that will control the speed of the modulation.
Right.
Which is really
that's
smart.
Really good. It's a dip switch, but on the outside.
Yeah, so as well as having the bypass, you know, just to bring everything in and out, you've also got a sustain switch.
Right.
So that will be...
Unlatched, I assume.
Yes, I assume it's unlatched. So that is how you bring in the your dark rise or dream.
Oh, I love it. That sounds super cool.
Yes, it does sound really cool. And I tell you, and this will, I assume, lead on to the next piece of news, because Mark and I were both listening to, or re-listening to, a couple of demos. I was listening to this, and you were listening to...
I've been listening to the Mr. Black Super Swell.
And
I haven't.
No,
sorry,
that's
not what you're talking
you're
about.
You're jumping ahead.
Sorry, the Seymour Duncan Dark Sun Digital Delay and Reverb.
So Mark turned on the demo and was watching the demo of the Dark Sun, and I was watching the demo of the Slew. And first of all, we thought that we had both clicked on the same video because the intros are the same. And secondly, they are playing in the same key, and actually it sounded quality.
It was like some weird like remix going
on. It sounded absolutely fantastic. So yeah, Walrus Audio Slope sounds really good. $200, so it's you know, by no means cheap, but it's also nowhere near the price of a lot of these kind of big ambient reverb pedals. But it's not big; it's the same size as a same size as like an MXR pedal.
Yeah,
very cool, really, really cool, and the artwork is amazing as well.
Yeah, super duper cool.
And let's be honest, that's the important thing.
Should I talk about the Dark Sun?
We might as well talk around the Dark Sun.
So, Dark Sun is a new pedal from Seymour Duncan, which I think we talked about before.
We have. Do you know why I thought? Because it's in our document. It's in our Gear of the Year document.
Maybe we have talked about it before, but I mean, there seems to have been a press release for it this week, so maybe there were no details available before. For last week when we were talking about the Free the Tone delay,
the Future Factory,
which had a ton of different controls on it, this is going down very much a similar pattern. So this is a delay and reverb with slightly more obvious controls, I guess, on the front of the pedal, but there is still quite a lot of like menu selection and stuff. It's got a tweak control as well. So I'll run down the controls. So you've got different delay modes, and that it can be like rhythmically split out. You've also got reverse delay, ping pong, and the other one is reverse ping pong by the looks of things. And then a few different reverbs, and along with your standard delay controls, so time feedback and delay mix. Now, as well as that, you've got this tweak control, which basically changes depending on which which type of delay and reverb that you're using. So basically, as with a lot of the Seymour Duncan pedals, the idea is to give you plenty of sounds. This one I didn't realize is actually designed in collaboration with Mark Holcomb from Periphery.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Indeed. So it's not, you know, they're not claiming it's like a signature pedal, but it's designed with kind of his input. They describe it as artists can shape the EQ of the effect, add saturation, lost choral modulation, or use dynamic expression to control the mix of the effect while playing. So a lot more than just a straight delay and reverb. And a lot of that, I think, is down to this kind of tweak control that allows you to control things like the modulation. So Looks impressive. Like I said, in the delay, it sounded really good. It's another one of these kind of workstation pedals from Seymour Duncan. What was funny is how similar it sounded to the Slur. But I'm going to put that down now to the fact that we were both listening on laptop speakers and we couldn't hear the nuances of each pedal. But they both sounded very similar.
Blooming love Seymour Duncan. They make great pedals.
Underrated. The pedals always have been. Like even from the pickup booster.
Well, the pickup booster was great. The 805 is a fantastic sounding tube screamer alternative. Yep. Like a great sounding tube screamer alternative. The what's the delay that absolutely
Vapor Trail.
The Vapor Trail. My God.
Yeah.
Like, that has to be like the most amount of weird modulation you can add on a pedal that's like normal size.
Yeah.
It sounds like it should be coming from a big Strymon style thing.
Loved it. Those two in particular, I think, stand out. The 805 and the
Vapor Trail.
Just really solid pedals that you can pick up secondhand for absolutely no money.
God, I might get an 805. You know, I've been... I don't know if you know, but I was building a little pedal board, a little guitar pedal board this week. And I have been struggling to find the right drive for it. So I'm using the plus pedal. I was using the Rocket Surgeon Ice Caves and the Anna Sounds Utopia as the delay reverb. But actually, I've switched out for just an RE20 now, just because...
The best.
Well, it's just because I quite like having that control, being able to suppress that second foot switch and get that sound. That's really cool. And but the drive, I had like the Walrus Audio 365, the one that's based on a projector, and it was really good. But I only want like a touch.
385.
What did I say?
365.
Oh, I meant 385.
Did you?
He said 365. Yeah, 385. Yeah, based on the projector sound, because I just wanted a touch. I just wanted something to like warm things up. But I'm playing my ES175 always on the bridge pickup, and the bridge pickup's really raised and really...
Why are you doing that? I thought your whole thing was you wanted stuff to sound as woolly as possible.
Well, not on guitar. I only like bridge pickups on guitar. I play strats only on the bridge pickup. I like that sort of thing. But the problem is the bridge pickup's really raised on the ES175. It's really close to the strings. And for whatever reason on mine, I get loads of bass, like loads of low end just on the low E. Like it's really sort of over woolly. So it tends to drives
quite
a lot, even when the rest of it's quite even. So I struggle to find a drive that doesn't just sound a bit distortion-y when I pick the low, the low E. And I was like, I had the gain virtually off on the 385, and I was like, maybe I'll try the Sidewinder, the Hudson Electronic Sidewinder.
Oh, yeah.
That was still too hot.
Sidecar.
Yeah. God, what's going I'm not naming any pedals correctly. But I was going to try out the Rock Fabric Aqualung, because I remember that being very transparent.
That's a really good sounding pedal.
But the 805, the Seymour Duncan 805, maybe I need to get one of those. Maybe I need something tube screamery, because I don't have anything tube screamery.
Speaking of tube screamery.
Speaking of tube screamery, J Cross.
Acorn Amps have released a new... so following on from, and I'm sure they'll absolutely love it from me using the big I word, but following on from Ibanez releasing a 40th anniversary TS-808 at Winter NAMM, Maxon have only bloody gone and released a 40th anniversary OD-808.
But the OD-808 came first, right? The Ibanez licensed that circuit off of Maxon.
Yeah, presumably they did that in the year 1979. Oh, yes, and it's just Ibanez have done released the pedal earlier. So, released their pedal earlier. So, they've released a Made in Japan OD-808. It's green. It's a OD-808. I don't really know what else to say about it. It's $200, which is the same price as the Ibanez.
Oh, is it? Right. Yes. The gist is, I think they got the original fellow on board.
Yeah, they have. So Susumu Tamura,
right,
who's the former engineer, the guy who, I guess, created the pedal. So he's modified it. And he's also signed some, which are $400.
Wow.
So there's only
That 808.
Limited to 400, but there's 40 signed ones, right, and the 40 signed ones are $400.
Yeah, it's super cool.
I wish my signature was worth $201.
It's quite a cool thing to own.
I always thought the Maxon looked cooler than the Ibanez one.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And it's retroer and more 80s.
Yeah.
Anyway, let me tell you.
79 this one, mate.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, fine. I apologize.
70s. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Let me tell you boys about something that's going to change the way you play guitar forever. Let me introduce you to the Pickslinger.
Go on.
Okay. So, did you watch the video I sent you of the
Pickslinger?
No. Oh, Joe. I don't watch any videos you
sent me. You're missing out. It's a really good video.
You've got to remember that, like, I'm at work. I actually have a job.
Yeah.
I can't just sit around on the internet all day.
No, yeah.
My boss isn't an idiot who doesn't mind me just sitting around on the internet all day, right, like your boss.
Well.
Me.
The listeners.
Well, yes, the Pickslinger, okay? I'll have to tell you all about it now. I'll try and describe it without
you're rubbing
the
your knees in a really uncomfortable manner.
So, you know how you often switch between pick style and finger picking?
Often switch between pick style and finger picking.
So, Tim, my guitarist, does that a lot. But and what I guess you would do normally is you drop the plectrum into the cup of your three fingers. Oh, or two fingers, depending on how you finger pick. And then you have to retrieve the plectrum back into your hand, yes?
Sure.
Yeah, that would be how you switch. Well, imagine if, you know, you could drop it. So imagine if instead you were wearing a ring with a bar on the ring and your plectrum was held in the bar.
Yep.
So that you could have the plectrum in your hand and then flip the ring and the bar over the top of your hand, and the plectrum would be on the outside, and you could be finger pick star, and then just using a careful flip round of your finger, like you would an old Colt pacemaker if you're a cowboy in the Wild West, hence the name pick slinger, and you can flick it back round into your hand with ease. It also allows you to hold the plectrum very lightly, as any, you know, you're supposed to barely hold the plectrum. So this allows you to, you know, to have the lightest touch on the plectrum and still be able to flick it in and out of your hand.
Are you practicing why you might need the pick slinger?
No, I'm.
The pick slinger means you're not going to drop it.
There's a few things that I want to say about the pick slinger website, but let's do that in the Patreon,
yeah, okay.
Because there's a few things
because we need to be behind the paywall
about the pick slinger website.
Okay, right. Well, that is it for us here on the Guitar Nerds podcast. We've got a load more news to do, so I guess we should continue over on the Patreon and work through that. We're gonna maybe talk about some other things on the Patreon episodes as well. Today I watched How Inconvenient Is This? You know, I just put out a video on like top five guitars not made of wood.
Yeah.
Well, like maybe the day before or the day after, Aristides released a factory tour video, and I was like, man, I totally forgot about this brand when I made this video. And
you were thinking, I could have ripped all this footage for our video.
I was thinking that, but no, it was a really good video. I want to talk about them anyway because their guitars are super cool. Their factory tour was amazing, lovely facility in the Netherlands, and the dudes there just seem really very cool. Anyway, we'll continue over on the Patreon, where for as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. $1 a month, was that okay? What did I say wrong?
You said wherefore, which
wherefore
art thou, Romeo?
Right, I see. Wherefore art thou $1 a month? You can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free and early. $5 a month gets you that, and you get the Patreon special episode and loads of other mini-series too. And $10 a month gets your name read out in one breath by me. Ready?
Hang on. I'll get the. I'll do another demo of the pick.
Ready? You ready? Yeah.
Christopher Franklin, Andy Joyce, John Anglin, Edelroy's Chris, J. Cutler, Robert Cousins, Rob, Gore, Scott, Hamilton, Tucker, Abaddon, Ernie Cooper, Ross, Edwards, Nate, Nagel, Stephen, Hens, Joe, John, Robert, Robert, Smedley, Everyday Jacob, John, Troyer, Aaron, Seven, Blake, Wyland, Andrew, Goody, Jamie, Kev, Jay, Gray, Matt, Benjamin, Martin, Cliff, Scott, Kennedy, Christopher, Lawson, Hansams, Robin, Street, Derek, Rich, Chris, Scott, is Robin, Norman, Duncan, Watson, Ed, Medley, Steve, Michael, DJ, Marcus, Michael, McGray, Carter, Spencer, Andy, McKenzie, Brad, Page, Blair, Tom, Scott, O'Brien, Laura, Yancis, Paul, Corrigan, Will, Sam, Moon, Gravett, Bill, Thompson, Adrian, Day, Chen, Says, Matthew, Kinn, Scott, Jane, Sean, Arbo, Christopher, Woman, Copper, Fire.
It was always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire. No, we didn't start it, but then something happened.
And on and on and on and on. Oh, that was awful.
I'm really surprised it's taken us that long to come to the conclusion that Joe's list is very much like we didn't start the fire.
You were halfway through and Mark was just like, oh my God, oh my God. And I just looked over and I was just like, I just mouthed.
Let's do it.
We didn't start the fire.
Okay, my goodness. Right, well, am I supposed to say something about where you can...
Yeah, Facebook, you know, all the Twitter, all that.
Yeah, I can't be bothered. All right, yes, we'll see you next week. Farewell.
Cheers, guys.
Bye.